Imagine working alongside someone who seems perfect on the outside, impeccably dressed, charismatic, confident, but harbors a dark secret, a complete absence of conscience. This isn't the plot of a thriller, it's the reality explored in Snakes in Suits by industrial psychologist Paul Bobiak and renowned psychopathy researcher Robert Hare. Since its publication, this groundbreaking work has become required reading in many corporate HR departments and business schools. The book's revelations about corporate psychopaths have resonated with countless readers who recognize these patterns in their own workplaces, including several high-profile CEOs who privately acknowledge the book helped them identify and remove destructive executives. What makes this work particularly chilling is how it demonstrates that the most dangerous predators in our society may not be behind bars. They might be sitting in the corner office, making decisions that affect hundreds of lives while feeling absolutely nothing for those they harm. Psychopathy isn't just about violence or criminal behavior. It's a specific cluster of personality traits that appears in about 1% of the general population. At its core, psychopathy manifests as a constellation of interpersonal, affective, lifestyle, and antisocial characteristics. The interpersonal dimension includes traits like grandiosity, pathological lying, and manipulative behavior. Effectively, psychopaths demonstrate shallow emotions, lack of empathy or guilt, and callousness toward others. Their lifestyle typically features impulsivity, irresponsibility, and a constant need for stimulation, while antisocial tendencies include poor behavioral controls and early behavior problems. Unlike most mental disorders, psychopathy doesn't cause subjective distress to the individual, only to those around them. Psychopaths don't feel anxious about their condition or seek treatment to change. In fact, many consider their emotional detachment a strength, allowing them to pursue goals without the weakness of empathy or remorse holding them back. What makes psychopaths particularly dangerous is their instrumental approach to violence and manipulation. While most criminals act out of emotion, rage, jealousy, fear, psychopaths use violence and deception as calculated tools to achieve specific ends. They don't experience the emotional arousal that typically accompanies aggression. This cold-blooded quality makes their actions particularly disturbing and often more effective. The gold standard for identifying psychopathy is the Psychopathy Checklist Revised, PCLR, developed by Dr. Hare after decades of clinical research. This assessment tool measures 20 specific traits on a 3-point scale, with scores ranging from 0 to 40. A score of 30 or above typically indicates psychopathy. For community settings, the shorter PCLSV screening version provides similar assessment capability with scores from 0 to 24, where 18 roughly equates to a PCLR score of 30. Average people score between 0 to 3 on this scale, while criminal populations average around 13. Importantly, psychopathy appears universal across cultures, though its behavioral manifestations may vary based on social norms. While men typically score higher than women, particularly on antisocial features, the fundamental structure of psychopathy remains consistent across genders. The development of psychopathic traits involves a complex interplay between genetic predisposition and environmental factors. Twin and adoption studies provide compelling evidence that genetic factors significantly influence the development of psychopathic traits. These genetic foundations make it difficult for social environment alone to overcome natural predispositions. Nature provides the fundamental elements needed for psychopathy, particularly the profound inability to experience empathy and normal emotional range. This limited emotional capacity reduces the ability to develop internal controls, conscience, and emotional connections with others. Behavioral epigenetics further complicates this picture, as environmental events can activate or deactivate genes associated with psychopathic traits. The relationship between childhood trauma and psychopathy is complex and context-dependent. Studies indicate that abuse, physical, emotional, sexual neglect correlates with some components of adult psychopathy, but these associations are typically weak. Importantly, trauma primarily affects the antisocial and lifestyle dimensions of psychopathy, impulsivity, poor behavioral controls, early problems, rather than the core interpersonal and affective traits, grandiosity, manipulation, lack of empathy. This suggests childhood trauma predicts general antisocial behaviors more than the distinctive personality features of psychopathy. Some evolutionary psychologists propose that psychopathy may represent an adaptive life strategy rather than a disorder. The nomadic lifestyle, multiple casual sexual relationships, and predatory social interactions of psychopaths can be viewed as a heritable strategy for genetic continuity. While most people invest heavily in nurturing few offspring, psychopaths produce many children with minimal emotional investment. They employ either cheater strategies, manipulation, deception, warrior-hawk strategies, impulsivity, aggression, or both to achieve reproductive success with minimal investment. As people age, some psychopathic traits diminish, particularly those related to impulsivity, sensation-seeking, and poor behavioral controls. However, the core traits of grandiosity, pathological lying, manipulation, and lack of empathy remain stable throughout life. The case of John Grambling Jr. illustrates this persistence. A privileged man who defrauded multiple banks of millions and continued his predatory financial schemes well into his late 60s. Corporate psychopaths follow a predictable pattern when infiltrating organizations, beginning with assessment. They identify potential targets by evaluating their usefulness as sources of money, power, influence, or information. They're particularly attracted to people with power or high status, though they recognize that even those with informal power, like secretaries controlling access to bosses, can be valuable. They assess emotional weaknesses and psychological defenses to plan their approach. During this assessment phase, psychopaths categorize people into three groups: pawns, people who possess resources they want; patrons, high-level executives who become advocates based on carefully orchestrated impressions; and police, those in oversight roles who might detect their deception. They systematically build relationships with pawns and patrons while avoiding or neutralizing the police. After identifying useful targets and assessing vulnerabilities, psychopaths begin weaving what the authors call the psychopathic fiction. Their first goal is gaining trust through charm, ingratiation, and impression management techniques. Psychopaths make excellent first impressions while constructing elaborate fictitious personas. They can present themselves as strong, naive, dominant, honest, submissive, trustworthy, worldly, whatever they believe will elicit positive responses. The manipulation phase forms the bulk of the psychopath's organizational existence. Their ultimate goal is to create a scam within the organization that fulfills their needs for excitement, advancement, and power. They manipulate coworkers and executives through four key psychological messages. 1. I like who you are. They reinforce the target's self-presentation, validating their identity and making them feel special. 2. I am just like you. They craft a fake persona mirroring aspects of the victim's private self, sharing personal details that reflect similar values and beliefs. 3. Your secrets are safe with me. As the victim shares more inner thoughts and feelings, the psychopath creates the impression of deep understanding and acceptance. 4. I am the perfect friend partner for you. The psychological bond promises depth and intimacy in a relationship that seems special and unique. Once psychopaths have drained all value from their victims, they abruptly abandon them, often without the victim realizing the psychopath has been seeking someone new. This callous abandonment stems from their weak emotional attachments to others. While most people feel guilt when hurting someone, psychopaths view such emotions as amusing weaknesses to exploit. This assessment-manipulation-abandonment cycle creates predictable patterns. numerous short-term relationships, leaving behind jilted lovers, abused ex-spouses, and unsupported children. Despite claims of success, their work histories typically show unconnected, randomly selected jobs rather than coherent careers, though they craft convincing fictional achievements. The fictional case of Dave illustrates how psychopaths operate in corporate environments. Dave arrives at Garrett Ebb Technologies for his interview looking impeccably dressed, confident, and charming. He impresses everyone from the receptionist to the VP of new products, John. Dave skillfully flatters John by showing interest in the company's strategic vision, causing John to abandon his prepared interview questions. Despite HR Director Melanie's desire to follow proper hiring protocols, Frank and John are so impressed by Dave that they make him an immediate job offer with enhanced compensation. On his first day, Dave immediately shows his true colors by complaining about his office size and location. When Frank is called to meet with CEO Jack Garadeb, he discovers Dave has already introduced himself to the CEO uninvited, a bold move for someone's first day. As Dave settles into his role, he categorizes people as losers, winners, or wannabes, and targets those who can be useful to his ambitions. The narrative follows Dave as he manipulates various colleagues. He finds Dorothy working late and attempts to view her confidential project. When she blocks his view, he feigns hurt feelings about trust. Their relationship has developed through coffee, occasional lunches, and drinks, though Dorothy maintains professional boundaries. Dave manipulates the conversation to undermine Dorothy's confidence in her project's approval, suggesting Frank will block it and implying she needs his political help. In a particularly devious move, Dave sabotages Frank's presentation by giving him plagiarized materials, then sending the real presentation directly to John, claiming Frank was delayed. When Frank returns, Dave explains away the confusion as an honest mistake, leaving Frank suspicious but unable to prove any wrongdoing. As Dave's manipulation continues, team members begin requesting transfers due to his disruptive behavior, arriving late, yelling at people, and embarrassing those who speak up. When Frank and John investigate, they discover Dave has been telling contradictory stories to different people and has stolen Dorothy's entire product proposal, removing her name and claiming it as his own. However, just as they prepare to recommend Dave's termination, they find him emerging from a friendly meeting with CEO Jack Garadeb, greeting them with a knowing smile as he passes by. Business environments have changed dramatically in recent decades, inadvertently creating attractive opportunities for psychopathic personalities. From the 1940s, 1970s, employment was defined by a psychological contract, offering job security, benefits, and lifetime employment symbolized by the retirement gold watch. This contract was built on loyalty and competence, providing employees security while giving employers an experienced workforce. However, business change accelerated dramatically during the 1980s, 1990s, with technological advances outpacing organizations' ability to adapt. Companies face simultaneous demands for better quality and lower costs while government controls increased. While some changes were positive, the internet opened new worlds of exploration and commerce, negative effects included corporations having to quickly reinvent themselves through mergers, acquisitions, or offshoring operations. Chaos emerges when business upheaval outpaces an organization's ability to respond effectively. In this environment, organizations develop outdated policies, inconsistent risk-taking, tolerance for controversial behaviors, and antiquated measurement systems. The future becomes fuzzy, and stability disappears as yesterday's changes transform again today and tomorrow. Corporate psychopaths thrive in transitioning organizations. Their thrill-seeking nature draws them to fast-paced, stimulating environments. As rule breakers, they capitalize on the reduced structure and free-form decision-making of chaotic organizations. Leadership positions particularly attract them, offering control over people and resources without requiring technical expertise. Most importantly, the constant organizational flux allows them to hide, moving through rapid promotions before their performance can be properly evaluated. Organizational secrecy, whether protecting trade secrets, preparing for difficult decisions, or resulting from rapid change outpacing communication channels, creates perfect conditions for psychopathic manipulation. During chaotic transitions, when more information would benefit employees, increased secrecy heightens distrust, reduces management credibility, and leads to mistakes. Psychopaths thrive in this environment, as their manipulative success depends on maintaining secrecy about their true activities. Disasters and chaos create perfect opportunities for psychopaths to exploit others' misfortunes. While many people respond to tragedies with empathy, psychopaths see only self-serving opportunities. Unlike Machiavellian schemers who gather information patiently, psychopaths are present-oriented opportunists who revise loyalties to fit situations and manipulate others for power and self-interest. They remain emotionally unaffected by human suffering, predisposed to take callous but pragmatic advantage of others' terror and turmoil. Before labeling someone a psychopath, it's important to distinguish between difficult personality traits and true psychopathy. While many people believe they work with psychopaths, true psychopathy affects only about 1% of the population, with another 10% showing concerning psychopathic features. Unlike true psychopaths, most people display inconsistent behaviors, perhaps being manipulative at work but forthright with friends. True psychopaths demonstrate most psychopathic traits consistently across all aspects of their personal, professional, and social lives. They also lack the capacity for genuine remorse or empathy that even difficult people typically possess. Research from the Ohio State Leadership Studies identified two key factors in leadership behavior: consideration, interpersonal interactions based on respect and trust, and initiating structure, defining goals, roles, and standards. A boss low on consideration might seem cold and uncaring without being psychopathic. Similarly, one high on initiating structure might appear domineering. Industrial psychologists evaluate problematic coworkers using the factor of conscientiousness. Highly conscientious individuals focus on doing good work, while low conscientious coworkers may be sloppy with deadlines, unfocused, and reliant on others. However, conscientiousness is a personality dimension with varying degrees, and extreme levels aren't necessarily pathological. While individual differences in consideration, structuring, and conscientiousness are normal, psychopaths manifest extreme patterns: very low consideration, rude, arrogant, extreme in structuring jobs, uncaring or overbearing, and very low conscientiousness, irresponsible, impulsive. All psychopaths share egotism, entitlement, grandiosity, and lack of guilt or remorse. They fabricate hard luck stories while failing to meet responsibilities. Three distinct psychopathic styles emerge in corporate settings. 1. Corporate cons excel at charm and storytelling, manipulating others for personal gain while avoiding responsibility. They're chameleon-like, building trust only to betray it, treating manipulation as a game. 2. Corporate bullies rely on coercion, humiliation, and fear rather than charm, attacking powerless targets and maintaining grudges. Unlike garden variety bullies who may have insecurities, psychopathic bullies lack empathy across all contexts. 3. Corporate puppet masters combine conning and bullying by manipulating intermediaries to abuse others lower in the organization. Research found 3.9% of high potential executives fit the psychopath profile, higher than the general population's 1%. Following his initial encounter with a corporate psychopath, Bobiak spent over 10 years gathering data on psychopaths in business settings. He recognized that while many problematic behaviors were already being addressed through management development programs, certain individuals displayed enough red flags to warrant classification as corporate psychopaths. The challenge became distinguishing between true psychopaths and merely bad bosses in a way acceptable to participating organizations. This led to the development of the BusinessScan 360, BScan 360, a specialized assessment tool for identifying psychopathic traits in business contexts. The BScan was developed through content analysis of corporate succession plans and individual development plans from 8 U.S. companies. Starting with approximately 200 unique characteristics from supervisors' assessments, each item was reworded into standard business language. Psychopathy experts rated items for relevance to psychopathy evaluation, while HR executives independently rated each trait's criticality to business operations. The validation process confirmed the BScan's accuracy in measuring corporate psychopathy. Statistical analyses reduced the item pool to 20 items that align with the Hare four-factor model: manipulative/unethical, interpersonal, callous/insensitive, affective, unreliable/unfocused, lifestyle, and intimidating/aggressive, antisocial. Research using the BScan confirms that gender differences in psychopathy exist in the workplace. Men score significantly higher than women on both the BScan self and other psychopathy measures. In a study of 425 public organization employees, female supervisors scored significantly lower than male supervisors on all four BScan 360 factors. The BScan has revealed important workplace impacts of psychopathic leadership. Research found psychopathy to be the strongest predictor of workplace harassment, beyond other personality traits typically considered in hiring. Employees who rated their managers higher on the BScan 360 reported higher psychological distress and work-family conflict, along with lower job satisfaction. This lower satisfaction predicted intentions to quit. Within the full-range model of leadership, laissez-faire, transactional, and transformational, supervisors scoring high on psychopathy scored significantly lower on positive leadership measures, transactional and transformational, and higher on laissez-faire leadership. This indicates psychopathic individuals are ineffective at both people and task management. Though their charisma may help them get hired as leaders, they fail to succeed as good leaders over time. They excel at talking the walk, but not at actual leadership. The first line of defense against corporate psychopaths is a robust hiring process. While no procedure guarantees protection, vigilance based on understanding can improve organizational defenses. Modern hiring involves algorithmic screening of resumes for keywords matching job criteria. The major weakness is that psychopaths, notorious liars, often cross the line between good marketing and outright fabrication, listing jobs never held, companies that never existed, fake credentials, and self-written recommendation letters. It's essential to verify every piece of resume information before interviews begin. Initial phone or video screening interviews save time and allow consideration of more candidates. While useful for exploring candidates' motivations through open-ended questions, psychopaths excel at verbal manipulation during these conversations. Ideally, companies should record these interviews, with permission, for later review, as psychopaths' banter often contains flowery phrases, inconsistencies, lies, and logical flaws that may be missed during live conversation but become apparent upon review. Face-to-face interviews provide critical opportunities to detect psychopathic candidates, but two common mistakes play directly into their hands: failing to prepare proper questions and relying solely on social skills without formal interview training. Good interviewers listen on three levels: overt answers, impressions formed, and underlying competencies. They maintain control, ask for work examples, focus on specific behaviors, clarify details, and look for appropriate emotional responses. Psychopaths excel in interviews by avoiding direct questions and redirecting conversations to topics they believe interest the interviewer. They quickly assess whether to use a soft or hard sell approach and experience little anxiety during interactions most find stressful. This allows them to weave convincing tales with technical jargon that can fool even experts. To counter these tactics, interviewers should request actual work samples like reports and presentations, focus on specific actions and behaviors rather than vague accomplishments, clarify details with who, what, when, where, and why follow-up questions, look for appropriate emotional responses as psychopaths struggle with genuine emotions, take detailed notes to recall facts beyond impressions and feelings, never decide alone, include multiple interviewers to spot inconsistencies in the candidate's presentation. Having a psychopath in your personal life can be emotionally draining and psychologically debilitating. The authors caution against labeling someone a psychopath without proper training and qualifications, but suggest recognizing when an individual displays psychopathic traits and behaviors and acting accordingly. Know thyself is crucial advice for protection against psychopaths who feed on naivete and innocence. Self-knowledge strengthens immunity against psychopathic games. Many people avoid confronting their weaknesses, which psychopaths readily exploit. The more you understand yourself, the better equipped you'll be to defend against psychopathic influence. Psychopaths target people for specific assets: money, power, fame, sex, access to information, communication channels, or influence. They employ various tactics to access these assets, exploiting generosity, trust, and charity. Distinguishing genuine need from manipulation requires applying common sense to social interactions. Excessive flattery should trigger caution about what comes next. Psychological triggers are aspects of personality that stimulate emotional reactions beyond our control. Psychopaths exploit these triggers during manipulation. Hot buttons provoke automatic emotional reactions, shifting attention and coloring perceptions. Psychopaths press these buttons to generate positive feelings toward themselves and negative feelings toward others, or to make victims act out inappropriately. Like predators, psychopaths perceive weaknesses in potential victims. Three common categories make us vulnerable: flaws, what's wrong with you, real or imagined aspects you dislike about yourself; lacks, what's missing in your life, love, purpose, excitement; and fears, what frightens you. Developing realistic self-assessment and understanding your needs and fears provides protection against these manipulation tactics. The parasitic lifestyle of psychopaths follows three phases: assessment, evaluating potential utility, weaknesses, and defenses; manipulation, using impression management to ingratiate themselves and extract resources; and abandonment, discarding the victim when no longer useful. Most victims don't realize they're dealing with a psychopath until too late, following a predictable pattern of victimization the authors call the psychopathic dance. Eventually, the accumulated lies, inconsistencies, negative feelings, and feedback from friends reach a tipping point where victims realize they've been pawns in a psychopath's game. This realization, while painful, marks the threshold to recovery. The authors recommend confiding in trusted friends and family rather than letting humiliation fester, documenting what transpired, and taking protective action against further contact or retribution. Your professional reputation is your most valuable asset and the primary target of psychopathic attacks. It takes 12 positive comments to counteract one negative one, making reputation defense your first priority against psychopaths who will stab you in the back regarding your competence and loyalty. Cultivate a reputation as friendly, talented, competent, and loyal by seeking opportunities to interact with upper management. When executives visit, ask thoughtful business-related questions that demonstrate maturity and understanding. This puts you on their radar positively, enhancing your reputation and creating doubt about any negative information from psychopaths. Maintain strong communication with your boss to defend against psychopathic coworkers. Keep them informed about departmental activities and projects, whether through formal weekly meetings or casual check-ins. Use every opportunity to share information, particularly about potential problems. Though tedious, maintaining comprehensive documentation is invaluable when confronting a psychopath's manipulations and may prove essential should legal action become necessary. Make documentation part of your daily routine, recording dates, participants, issues discussed, decisions made, and next steps. Keep notes at home or on personal devices, including exact quotes from verbal confrontations or abuse. Performance reviews become part of your permanent record, making them critical to your career, despite many supervisors disliking the process of writing and delivering them. Participate actively in the process, submit a self-assessment if allowed, and keep it focused, balanced, and accurate. When receiving your review, ask for specific examples of any incidents mentioned. If the system allows comments or addendums, use this opportunity to correct any inaccuracies professionally and without emotion, focusing on facts. Public confrontations with psychopathic bosses lead to disaster. Psychopaths deliberately trigger emotional reactions by pushing your buttons when it serves their purpose. Remain cool and calm when attacked, relying on assertiveness rather than aggression. Minimize contact when possible and ensure witnesses are present during necessary interactions who can observe your professional demeanor contrasted with the psychopath's behavior. If you've been victimized by a workplace psychopath, gather all relevant documents, including emails, memos, transcribed phone calls, performance appraisals, HR handbooks, company codes of conduct, organization charts, calendars, and personal notes. Evaluate your employment situation, assess your colleagues' relationships with the psychopath, and consider making a complaint through proper channels, though understand that the psychopath may have already damaged your reputation within the organization. Once free from the psychopathic relationship, you'll feel tremendous relief. Put the situation and the psychopath behind you. Seek counseling if needed, but move forward with your life. Consider the experience a hard lesson and approach your new phase with enthusiasm and awareness.